Happy New Year! You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sure everyone's very tired because hopefully you've been out celebrating Junkanoo season. And we're taping this before, but you're going to be hearing it after. So right now, we don't know what's going to happen. I hope you're all out there supporting our Junkanooers. We're having a special themed show tonight, speaking about Junkanoo, but in a kind of different twist, and speaking about how Junkanoo and fine art practice really intersect. So I have two people in the studio with me tonight. I have Jay Coment. Good evening, Jay.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. And Jay, for many, many years, has been a supporter of artists in the Bahamas and is now actively involved with Genesis Junkanoo Group.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, since they started, yeah.
Since they started. And we also have Carlos Bain in the studio with us. And Carlos Bain is a Junkanooer, but also is taking his Junkanoo practice into kind of fine art. So good evening, Carlos.
Hi, good evening to all.
Thanks. And Carlos, you actually have a show on right now at the National Art Gallery called Second to None, which is on display in our project space. And it's artwork that has come out of your Junkanoo practice. Before we talk about that, can you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself, like how you got involved in the Junkanoo, like why you decided to like try to kind of expand beyond that kind of box?
It was quite some time back when I got involved with Junkanoo. I started Junkanoo in 1999 with Roots Junkanoo Group. But earlier in my life, I was always fascinated by the art. Mm-hmm. Of Junkanoo. I was always wondering about the how. Mm-hmm. Do you do what you do? How do they form a simple horse out of cardboard? As a young kid, I couldn't understand or comprehend that until in 1999 when I was first introduced to Roots Junkanoo Group by a cousin of mine, Noel St. Claude. He introduced me to Junkanoo. And that's when I really started to see the behind the scenes of Junkanoo, when it really wasn't what I really thought at first sight. Mm-hmm. You know, and being
so, what did you think?
Well, I saw some intricate work, but yeah. And then it just drew me to know, like, the how do you do what you do?
Yeah,
because I started to see a few persons working with the cardboard and watching it develop from flat to a structure, and that was quite fascinating as a kid, you know?
Yeah, sure, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, which is like you're taking something 2D, which is bits of paper and cardboard, basically, crepe paper and cardboard, and you're making it 3D, and you're actually making a sculpture. Like people, you know, yes, it's a costume, but it's actually a sculpture because you're creating a solid physical object of artistic creation, which works in 3D, and that is actually a sculpture. So they're really more like living sculptures than they are, I think, just costumes in the sense of that we think about costumes, because costumes are really, in the theater, sort of clothes almost that you put on, right? Whereas this is really you're creating an art object that you then wear.
That's correct. And with Junkanoo, there's so many stages that a lot of persons really don't understand. Unless you be there presently, you get to miss a lot of the intricacy of Junkanoo because it's really labor intensive, starting from the cardboard straight developing into a finished product. There are so many stages that a lot of persons don't understand, and I think we as Junkanooers are the blame in a way because we only feed them the end product.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't understand the process, and sometimes they don't appreciate it to the level that we expect them to appreciate. But well, I kind of understand now that why they don't appreciate it to a level because they don't see that part, mm-hmm. you know, and we've been so secretive for so long, I think, and that's what draw me to do what I'm doing now is to try to get Junkanoo in art form to the mm-hmm. world, not just really the competition and the costume. It's about the whole entire art mm-hmm. itself as Junkanoo. Because to be a Junkanoo designer, you work with so many different mediums, mm-hmm. from the aluminum and construction of the costume to mm-hmm. cardboard art, and to some persons go in depth as it relates to sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're using styrofoam, you're using cardboard, you're using aluminum rods, and all of this just to create one piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of intricate, Mm-hmm. But it's amazing just to be a part and watch it develop from flat to a 3D form.
Yeah, and that's something that, again, John Beadle, I think a lot of people listen to the show know, because he's so well known for his fine art practice as well as his Junkanoo practice, is that he always speaks about the process. And whenever, you know, he's wanted to do things with the gallery related Junkanoo, he's always like, how can we show people the process? How are you trying to show people the process with what you're doing in your non Junking in, you know, the practice that you don't do for the parade, your other practice?
Whereas, as it relates to the project, in the project space at the NAGB at this time, what I first tried to get the persons to understand is where we came from whence we came, and why do we do what we do. And it all started with the slave being in bondage, holding a caterpillar with life, and then it developed straight into a costume. But I mean, I'll go in more depth if we have the time to do it, to explain the whole process. So that was really the start, to get them to understand the why first, and then we can go into the why we use what we use and how we using it, you know. And so it's a lot, and I think me trying to teach from the root of it, I think I have the greatest task of all time to get the persons to first understand what is Junkanoo. And Junkanoo is a strange word for a strange festival, you know, and it's really spiritual. A lot of persons think it's...
You just hit the nail on the head.
They really think it's the cardboard that makes it Junkanoo. But if you think about it, we have... they have cardboard art globally, you know, and it's not the crepe paper that makes it Junkanoo, because... Before it was crepe paper, it was sponge and straw and things, and it's still Junkanoo. So it's not really the medium that we use. It's
the spirit.
It's the spirit that you can't even put your hands on. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you'd really hit the nail on the head, because I think so many people only interact with Junkanoo and its finished product, and so it's seen as basically a party. Right, and I think it's somehow misunderstood as a party, even though, yes, it's a competition now and it's very serious, but, you know, it's sort of joyful and people go out and they're dancing and we all know there's a bit of drinking going on. And I think that there's been kind of a disconnect with the spiritual aspect of it. But I think if you go out, like, and again, you guys can speak better to the shacks than I can, but I certainly, like, on the night, like, when you go out and you see the drums being heated up and, you know, these moments where you feel like you could be taken back in time, right? To when the first Africans were here, and there's something sort of mysterious and mystical about it. And then if you actually really think about the physical fortitude that you need to, you know, carry that costume, to have that kind of energy, it you must have to connect to something higher. You cannot be in your body, right? Because it would almost be impossible. I think that there's a connection to, again, the higher spirit of the ancestors, and I think that's kind of what drives the performers. And I think that part is sort of lost a little bit on the audience.
See, it goes back, because the roots of Junkanoo are to be found on the continent of Africa. And under the British law, the slaves were given 3 days holiday at Christmas. And that time, that's when they used to reclaim themselves as humans, because they always felt as they were treated like animals. And they would use this time to create costumes using plant life and straw and whatever they can find on the plantation, and celebrate life and freedom. And that's why I think it really became spiritual at that time, as a celebration of life and freedom.
When who you really were. Like, that somebody might be trying to say, you're this other thing, you're my property, you're an animal, whatever it is, but you could say, no, this is who I really am, right? And I think that's also something that's a little bit lost, is that I think, you know, Junkanoo was an act of rebellion. And I think that's probably why kind of historically it's been kind of complicated as well, because I think the white ruling class knew pretty well it was an act of rebellion and got scared of it in a way, right? And was like, because I think there was a period, and I remember when John Beadle curated the Ace of Spades show, you know, there was a whole wall about the history of Junkanoo, and I learned from that, I didn't know, that it had actually been banned for a few years. And I think it was, Jade, do you remember when that was? Maybe it was in the 40s or 50s, but there was a period when it was banned. They tried to not have it.
There's still laws on the books. Laws on the books now.
Really? About not having Junkanoo?
Yes. There's all sorts. Yes. And by the way,
about not congregating on the plane.
There's all sorts of things. And by the way, go to Labor Day parade.
Yeah.
If the police decide, we're cutting this this parade short, which they did a couple years ago. I remember it very well. They cut the parade short. Mm-hmm. So there's still a tension, if I want to use that word, between the authority, even though the authorities have changed to some degree, and what Junkanoo is doing.
Well, because I think it's kind of in some way seen as disruptive, but not in an honoring way of kind of honoring that spirit of rebellion that brought us to majority rule, but rather in a kind of slightly, again, like there's a fear of, you know, and actually I remember when I first came home and I wanted to do that Jackson Burns. Like, I came back and there was no show scheduled for the NAGB. And I came back mid-November and I was just really, this team were like, nope, nothing's planned. We have to come up with an. And I went down to Junkanoo. My family just got off the plane. I was like, if you're going to be living here, it's imperative you come and see this. You know, we participate. And I remember so well, we were on Shirley Street because we didn't have tickets. So we just went down really, the kids were really small. So we woke them up at like, I don't know, 4 a.m. and went down 5:00 a.m. And I can remember seeing these Jackson Burnside paintings coming down Shirley Street. And I lost it. I was like, oh my God, look, oh my God. Because, you know, I'd never seen art in that way be part of Junkanoo before. Like that kind of art, right? I mean, obviously Junkanoo is an art, but that they were, the dancing girls were dressed up like painters and portraits, and they were really speaking to like a fine art practice. And then one of the off the shoulders was the NAGB, and one of the off the shoulders was pop-up, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, when did our community and the Junkanoo community come together like that? And so I was so excited. I was jumping up and down and screaming, and people were looking at me like, man, what's wrong with that crazy lady, you know? But I remember the reaction when I went to work the next day, and I was like, I want to go find those costumes. I want to do a show, and, you know, we got to do this. And I then just hired John Cox, and he was like, yeah. And some people's reaction was really surprising to me, because some of the reaction was, do you want those people here? And I was like, What do you mean that, like, who are those people? And one person said, oh, aren't you worried there's going to be like bottle fights on the lawn? And I was like, no, I'm not worried about that at all. I think it's going to be and it wasn't. Of course, it was an amazing night and beautiful, but I think that just speaks to that kind of underlying fear, right? Do you come up against that, Carlos?
But that mentality existed for quite some time, you know.
Yeah.
That existed for quite some time, you know. But
I just need to say this was from an array of people. It wasn't from people that looked like I do. It was from a very varied group of people saying some of those things. And that's why I was so shocked. I was so surprised. I was like, really?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, they had some rebellious actions in the past, you know. But in the modern time now, that's totally ignored. You know, things have been changed. The competition has been changed. Junkanoo has been modernized to a level. You know, so the rebellion part of it don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I think there's kind of an homage to it in a way, like the act of processing down Bay Street, the act of closing down the stores in a way, the act of reclaiming Bay Street. It kind of is reminiscent of. Right, somehow there's a connection, but yes, it's not a rebellious act anymore in that sense.
No, it's not a rebellious act, but sometimes the music of Junkanoo get a lot of persons kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like they don't like we say it's spiritual, so they don't become their normal self. They be all over the floor on the same pavement where power steering fluid dropping on the road and oil leaking on the floor. They don't care. They don't even see that once the music starts. You know. And I think that's what a lot of persons are fearful of. I guess their actions and how they. But it's only because of the music, basically.
Well, the music will take you at the heartbeat of the nation, right? That's what happens. I always say I almost lost my husband to Junkanoo because the first time he heard it, he just disappeared. He followed the drums and he disappeared. I couldn't find him the rest of the night. It was New Year's and I was like, where'd my husband go? Anyway, so we are here talking about Junkanoo. It is, this show is airing on January the 2nd. We're taping before so we can all go on vacation. So we don't know what that outcome was, but we're here honoring the season, the Junkanoo season time here on The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. And we're going to come right back after this break.